y'all are doing well this evening. We're going to continue through the book of James tonight, as we have been doing Sunday evenings, trying to just slowly going through this book and looking through it and learning. I believe there's quite a bit that you can learn from the book of James. And so today we're looking at James chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. And I know we read all the way through verse 9 in our last study through it as we entered into chapter 2, as we talked about partiality, but I believe it plugs right in along with this lesson also as we look at these verses. And again, as James continues, it's been easy enough to go ahead and plug in the next few verses, the rest of the chapter 2, but I decided to hold off on that. So James chapter 2, and starting with verse 9, which reads here, says, "But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." And so there's only a couple points I want to bring out tonight in these verses, but I believe there's a decent amount in which hopefully to get enough for a lesson tonight as we look at these few verses here and hopefully bring out a couple good points. So the first point I want to look at is just simply that we fail in one point. As we're looking at the scriptures here, and it brings out that it says if we fail in one point, and of course we started with verse 9 and going back to the lesson last Sunday and seeing if we show partiality, you are committing sin. Here it's saying we're going to be judged just because you have shown partiality. You can go throughout with those who you do care for, those who you do love, and be the greatest person to your friends and your family, to the brethren here, or brethren where you're a member at. But yet, if you show partiality to everybody else and you treat them completely different just because they're not your family member, just because they're not part of your group, it says you commit sin. You commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. So just by that one thing that we can get caught up in doing in our lives and showing partiality, showing favoritism, or taking bribes, or going forth and favoring the rich or favoring certain people, here it's telling us that it can cause us to miss out. If we fail in just one point, we can miss out. And so you look at verse 11, and here adultery and murder. And it gives the example. It says, you know, the law tells us that you shall not commit adultery, and the law also says you shall not murder. But if you don't do one and you do the other, well, you're 50% there, and so you're doing okay. That's not what it says there. It says if you commit just one, whether it is adultery or whether it is murder, you have sinned. You have fallen short. You have committed sin against God, and therefore you have set yourself up again for judgment. You have become a transgressor of the law. It just takes one. It doesn't have to be both. It doesn't have to be the greater sin. But it just takes one of the acts. Again, in verse 13. Verse 13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Here it brings out that you get no mercy if you don't show any mercy. And so here's the command that God has given to us, that we are to be merciful to one another, that we are to be forgiving unto others. And so therefore, if we transgress and we sin because we are unforgiving unto others, again, this one sin, this one act in which you don't do can cause you to miss out, can cause you to fall short. And just to look at a couple other scriptures this evening, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if we can go forth and list a few of the sins that we can get caught up in this world, 1 Corinthians chapter 6,
And in verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And here's the point. It doesn't say those who shall not enter the kingdom of God are those who do all these things. But if you're just doing a couple of them, or if you're just doing one of them, then you have a chance to enter into the kingdom. But rather it's saying these people that continue in such a path shall not have a part in the kingdom of God. And so it, again, lists the adulterers, the sexually immoral, it lists the thieves, it lists the greedy. And so as we may go down this list and we look at it, and well, you know, I don't think I'm an idolater, I don't worship idols, and you get caught up and following along. I think greedy is one of the more common things that we might sit there and say, because it comes down to our emotions and our feelings of just wanting and maybe getting caught up into covetousness and coveting after what other people have because you have a love of money within your hearts. You're greedy, and so you're stingy. You don't give unto others. You don't share. You're always holding tight unto that money. Well, here it says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then we can sit there, I do all these other good things. I do most of the time. I'm always here at services on Sunday. And so I do my Bible class lesson. And it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's so many things we can sit here and list and think about. Do we know that we have a home in heaven? In Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Again, I know some of the stuff that is listed here gets repeated, but it gives us a couple other things. It says, "But the cowardly, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the disabled, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Again, so if we're taking that in consideration of just one thing, can cause us to fall short, can cause us to miss out on heaven. How careful of steps do we take? How often do we truly check ourselves and we just maybe get caught up in what other people are doing and comparing ourselves unto others and say, well, I'm doing better than they. But yet you know that you have your faults and you know that there's things you need to repent of. You know that there's things you need to turn from. Here, listen to the cowardly, those who are not willing, again, to confess their faith. Confess Jesus. Jesus said, if you confess me, I will confess you before the Father up above. But if you deny me, he will deny us. We're supposed to call upon the name of the Lord, that we're supposed to take his name and wear it, to take up the cross daily and follow our Savior. Those who are unbelieving cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There are some good people out there, some good people that I know and I've talked to, and yet may not have a faith in God. They just don't go to church anywhere. They don't have a faith. Well, here it says again that they will not have a part in the kingdom. They will be cast out. We fall short in one thing, again, all liars. All liars. Where do we fall in this category? We go to Matthew chapter 5 and look at a few things throughout there. In verse 22, it says there, you've heard that said under the old law, you shall hate your enemy. Love your brother. Here it says, if you're angry with your brother. And it gives us the example that if someone has something against us, or we have something against, go make it right before you go and give your gift to God. You fall short in one thing. And verse 28 gets caught up again. You've heard that said, do not commit adultery, but I say unto you, do not lust. In verse 34, taking oaths, we talked about that this morning. We can go down with this. We can open up our Bible continuously.
look through it and ask, where is it that we fall short? Or ask the question that Jesus had asked. What are you willing to exchange for your soul? What's that one thing that you're truly going to say, that is worth it? That is my kryptonite. It's what's going to cause me to miss out on heaven. What's worth missing out? What's worth going to hell for? An eternal life of punishment. Because it only takes one thing. Again, we get caught up in just saying, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. How often do we fall short? Knowing to do good. And so if we go back to James and we want to make the other point for the evening, it would be to, as we know that we're going to be judged, and we know that we are going to have to face our God, then we need to speak and act as those who are going to be judged. And it brings out here in verse 12, it says, so speak and so act to those who are going to be judged under the law of liberty. Goes forth and makes the point that if we do these things, we get caught up into impartiality, you're a transgressor of the law. If you murder or commit adultery, you're a transgressor of the law. Verse 13, if you show no mercy, then mercy triumphs over judgment. And so we do these things, we're transgressing against the law, therefore we have sinned, we have fallen short, we're going to face judgment of God. So therefore, walk and talk as you know that you're going to be judged. As you go throughout your day, have it in the back of your mind, God might come back today. In the back of your mind, he might be coming back right now. Is this where God wants me to be? Is this where I want to be when I face God? Is this what I want to be saying when he comes? Is this what I would want to be acting like? The last thing I do before I face judgment. So therefore, we should always be walking and talking as knowing that judgment is right around the corner. And so I believe if we had the opportunity, we knew exactly when it was going to be, we'd be preparing ourselves. We'd be diligent in making sure that we're prepared for that day in which the Lord is coming. And so we have 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15. 2 Timothy 2. And in verse 15, as it reads here, it says, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handing the word of truth. We are going to be diligent. The King James translation says, to study. Or here as it brings out, do your best. Doing everything that you can do to make sure that you present yourself to God an approved worker, knowing where you stand, knowing right from wrong, knowing that when you do something, this is according to the will of God. This is going along with what he has told us to do in his scriptures. I had avoided what he has told me not to do. I am going down the path he has commanded me to go down. Doing everything, and that means we're continuously searching the scriptures, confirming what it is, the will of God. Making sure that our desires line up with God's desires, that we are not caught up in the love of this world, but rather we continue in the path that God has given to us. So we have Ephesians chapter 4, if you turn along with me, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, looking at verse 31, as it reads here and tells us, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And so it talks about some of the stuff again that you should be casting off, that you should have no part in, and being bitter with others, and wrath and continuous anger, that we cast these things away. Have no part with them. But rather be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
Again, as we consider falling short under the law, when God tells us to do things and we don't do them, that's falling short also. That would be missing the mark. This is the mark we're aiming for. If we don't do it, then we're missing. We're not doing as He has commanded us to do. And so if we're not being kind, then we're missing the mark. We don't have a tender heart in that we, when we talk to others and we're not one who's forgiving and merciful, we're missing the mark also. It's not always just thou shalt not. Rather going down those commandments of what we should be doing. Making sure that we're following and keeping the commandments. In 1 Peter 4, and looking here in verse 7, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as a good steward of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so again, as it starts off in this verse, this is saying the end of all things is at hand. It's the same mindset as we go back to James of telling us, knowing that you're going to be judged, walk and talk, knowing that. With that in your back of your mind. Knowing the end of time is at hand. Therefore, we should have self-control. Controlling our thoughts and our attitude and our actions and what we say. The best way to do that is to have a mind like Christ. To renew our mind as like our God. Being sober-minded and keeping a clear thoughts. Being loving and showing hospitality unto others. Remember, we're talking about just one thing that can cause us to miss out. And sitting back and saying, well, do I have love in my heart? Am I acting out of love? Am I forgiving because I truly love this person, or am I letting this go because I have to? Are we inviting people over? Are we going over to others? Are we checking in on each other? How do we speak when we go forth and willing to teach others, speaking the oracles of God? Doing all things so that God may be glorified. Again, that goes back to Matthew and being the salt of the earth. Matthew 5, verse 13 there, that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Let your light so shine that the world may see your works and glorify God. And so here we are, speak and act as those who are going to be judged. That means we're going to be thinking about everything that we do. When we get up in the morning, we're going to be thinking about how we're going to act today. When we're going to run into somebody, you know, that just maybe gets on your nerves, you know you got to work with this person, you know you got to go to school with this person, you know you deal with somebody, but you're going to have the right attitude when you approach them. You're going to have an attitude of, God put this person in my life for a reason. An attitude of, I can shine light to this person. I can help this person. We're going to consider how we dress and be modest. We're going to think about the words that come out of our mouth when people are getting on our nerves, and knowing that if we are to say something bad and then here comes God, and God, I didn't mean what I said, it just came out. We're going to be following in the footsteps of Christ. When we look to Christ again as it continues in all things, that's what it comes down to, of how we should be speaking and acting, is following our Lord and Savior. We're to love one another as He has loved us. We're to forgive one another as He has forgiven us. He's the ultimate example of being kind, of being merciful, of speaking the right things. And we know that there were times that it seems that he was more bold and louder when he chased the people out of the synagogue, when they had these temple the table set up, when he turned to Peter and had to rebuke him. And he knew the times in which to stand and stand his ground and teach others. And he knew the times to just sit and ask questions to confuse them. He knew the times in which he had to just walk away and go somewhere else. But in everything we do, in the back of our mind should be, how am I going to reply to this in a manner like Christ so that I can have that home in heaven, knowing that judgment is right around me? So we extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who need to obey the gospel. But if you're here this evening and you know what it is you need to do, again, if you haven't been baptized and you know that you need to be baptized, you haven't hit the mark. That means you're here this evening and you've fallen short in one aspect. You've fallen short in obeying the gospel and having the blood of Christ to wash your sins. But God has blessed us with his patience, allowing you this opportunity to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, and to be baptized, to wash your sins. If you're here and you have fallen short, you have the opportunity to pray to God and ask for forgiveness. If you need the prayers of the brethren to help you continue to fight that battle, we're here to help you. So if there's anything we can do for you, let me know in your chance.
I am so sweetly free.